Hello, everyone. Welcome to Symphony Church. I am so thankful that you're here with us. If you're joining us for the first time, I want to especially add my welcome. It is a difficult time to be visiting a new church, and I want you to know that we really appreciate you being here, and we'll do our best for those of you and you to get plugged in if that is your desire. We're going to take a minute to say hello to others who are worshiping with us. The best way to do this would be to go to our Zoom room and say hello to some of the people that you see there. You can chat them, you can wave hello, and I'll see you back here in a minute. All right, if you could come back. We've been learning how to live out five missional practices, five practical ways that we can be about the Jesus mission, if you will. And they're summarized by the acronym BLESS. Now, last week I said that I couldn't remember where I'd first heard that acronym, and as I did some research online, I realized that I heard it first from a pastor named Dave Ferguson, who I met a couple of years ago. He's the pastor of a very large church in Chicago called Covenant Church. Anyways, now you know who came up with the acronym, and you also now know who to credit for some of the ideas in my message today, because in my research, I found some great stuff that he had to say, a lot of which I'm going to pass on to you. I'm glad to have done that research. Now, Dave Ferguson may have come up with the acronym. Actually, I don't think he did. I think he borrowed the acronym from a church in London. But the concept, of course, is original to God. In Genesis 12, God tells Abram, "I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." We are blessed to be a blessing. That's the covenant that God makes with Abram, with Israel, and with us. We're called by God not only to be receivers of his blessing, but to be dispensers of his blessing to the whole world. Last week, we talked about the B in BLESS, which stands, if you remember, for begin with prayer. And the first missional practice is to begin with prayer. We want to begin this process, begin every morning, really, with a prayer that asks God, "How do you want me to bless the world today?" And then keep that prayer on your mind as you interact with the people where you live and work, colleagues, fellow students, neighbors, the grocery checkout person, et cetera, et cetera. We want God's direction and power as we seek to bless the world. So B stands for begin with prayer. Okay, so let's talk about the L. The L stands for listen. Listen with care. To bless the world, to bless the people that God brings our way, we need to get good at listening. Here's a story of what listening looked like in the life of Jesus. If you could open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, we're going to read from verse 35 all the way to verse 43. Okay, 18, 35 to 43. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you, God, that you are the one, Lord, who can bring healing. You're the one who can, Lord, pour out love upon us. You're the one, Lord God, who really does listen, Lord, to the cries of our soul. That's why prayer, Lord, we know is so powerful and effective. But Lord, as we pray, God, we're asking that you would create within us hearts that are also able to listen. Lord, as we talk about listening today, Lord God, expand our vision, expand our care, our circles, our spheres of compassion and concern and love in such a way that we would have ears that are much more attuned to those who are crying out around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to point out something here from this passage. Jesus wasn't looking for someone to heal that day. He was on his way to the city of Jericho, which was one of the last stops on the way to Jerusalem, in order to participate in the Passover feast. Now, a lot of people were on their way to Jerusalem on the same road as Jesus. So Jericho would have been an extra bustling place this time of year. Think of a crowded marketplace, totally packed, no social distancing going on at all. And amidst all these people, there's this blind guy, and though he couldn't see, he apparently heard that Jesus was passing his way. So the blind man cries out to Jesus. He says, "Have mercy on me." And despite the noise of the crowd, Jesus hears this one man. I picture Jesus being able to hear his particular voice like a mother can hear her child's cry in a room full of toddlers. He hears this one man crying out to him as he's passing by along the road. And now the people traveling with Jesus tell him to leave Jesus alone, but he won't. He cries out even louder. And, you know, it's remarkable, you know, what Jesus does next. Jesus comes near and he asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Okay, and we'll continue reading. He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Okay, so, you know, you knew that was coming, right? Blind man can't see, calls out to Jesus. Jesus heals him. The end, right? Well, not so fast. What I want us to notice is the question Jesus asked that blind man, right? What do you want me to do for you? Is that a silly question? I mean, wasn't it obvious? It's not like Jesus couldn't tell that the blind guy was blind. So why does he ask what the blind man wants him to do for him? Is this like a dramatic buildup for the ensuing miracle? Well, I'll tell you what I believe. This story tells us about Jesus, right? What I believe this story tells us about Jesus, in addition to the fact that he could heal the blind, okay? I believe it's showing us that Jesus was a person who didn't assume he knew what people needed, okay? He asked questions. He listened, okay? Now, as the Son of God, I think he knew. But at the same time, he asked those questions so that, you know, the person could really be heard. Now, we all know listening is super important in our closest personal relationships, okay? Everybody here has probably has said to someone or had it said to them, right, "You never listen to me," right? But listening is also super important when it comes to living out this blessed to be a blessing covenant. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And although today isn't about going around asking people that question, we do need to be listening for what people would say if we did ask them that, okay? Truth is, too often, I think people on mission for Jesus just go around doing nice, kind stuff for people whenever they can. And we think that's what it is, and maybe there's some truth to that. But before that, in most instances, what we first needed to do is begin with prayer, but then we need to be listening. Okay, let's talk about the problem of not listening. We live in a world where actually very few people seem to really listen. Most people are most interested in what they have to say. There's a saying, the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. Right? Isn't that so true? The opposite of listening is not actually speaking, it's waiting to speak. Even when we're not talking, a lot of times we're thinking, you know, not about what the other person is saying, we're thinking about what we're going to say, right? And just as a confession, I struggle with this, especially as a pastor, because, you know, many people are, you know, waiting, you know, for me to say something wise, so I have to be thinking about what it is that I'm going to say. And that what that means is too many times I'm not really listening closely to people, right? I'm just queuing up what I'm going to say next. Proverbs 18:2 says this, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." You know, by the standards of the Bible, many of us in this world are pretty foolish. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a conversation where it just felt like the other person wasn't listening at all. I can see that some of you married sisters are raising your hands. You didn't have to do that. I can't see you raise your hands, but I appreciate you being engaged. You're listening. Right? Well, we've all been part of conversations where the other person was saying, "Uh-huh, yeah," but we knew that they weren't really listening to anything that we were saying. If we want to be a blessing, we have to become very intentional about listening. Listening is critical.
Michael Frost, who's a Christian author, tells a story about this missionary group who went to India to serve the poor in a remote village. And the group showed up with all sorts of supplies and programs and skilled workers ready to transform that village to a place of health and vitality. And they went to the people living in what was really a slum, and they said, you know, we could build a medical clinic to help take care of the hurting and the sick. We could build a school for you to provide education so the next generation can work their way out of poverty. We can build a church for you so you can gather on weekends and learn about God. What do you want us to do for you? Actually, that last question sounds a lot like the question that Jesus asked. And the people of the village said, we need a mailbox. Okay, and what they meant by that was they needed their own official zip code. The missionary said, a mailbox? We can give you a school or a church building, and all you want is your own mailbox? And the people said, yes, what we really need most is a mailbox. Apparently, in India, if you live in a slum, if you do not have a zip code or a mailbox, that means that you do not exist on the map. Even if you're a community of 10 or 20,000 people, if you don't have a zip code, you're not recognized as existing for anything, including social services from the government. And so the people there did not want a school, a medical clinic, or a church first. They wanted to be put on the map. They wanted to have an identity. They wanted to become a recognized part of their own country. And the missionaries would not have known this unless they listened, okay? And that's no small task. And it ended up not being a small task. It took the missionaries actually 2 years to work through the bureaucracy to get that village registered. But once they did, the village began to be changed. The person who invented the stethoscope was noted for saying, if you use this tool, don't stop listening to your patients. They are telling you how to heal them. What he didn't want was for doctors to just listen to hearts and lungs with his invention. He wanted to make sure doctors still listened to their patients. And that's a wonderful principle, isn't it? We have to listen to people. Listen to our community. Listen to our workplaces. Listen to our families. Listen to our classmates. Listen to the hurts, the needs, the wounds of those who God has placed in our lives. Listen to their stories. We must really listen for what they really need. Now, when I say we need to listen to people, I'm not just talking about listening to the words that come out of their mouth. What I really mean is listening for where people are in their lives. It's kind of like in real estate. You may have heard the saying that the three most important things about a piece of property are location, location, location. And that's actually not just true of real estate, it's true of people. Dr. John Gottman, who's a leading researcher in why marriages succeed and fail, one of the things that Gottman discovered was that unhappily married couples think they know what their spouse is most looking forward to and excited about and what they're most concerned, worried about. Okay? And that's what I mean by a person's location. But these couples actually don't. Happily married couples do know these things. Okay? In a manner of speaking, happily married couples know their spouse's emotional and personal location. But it's not because they have some kind of intuitive sixth sense about their spouses. What's happening is that they simply listen to each other. They pay close attention to each other's lives. In fact, for some of us, this is something that we need to start asking and doing on a regular basis. Dave Ferguson suggests that we ask this question of those that we love. So, what are you most excited about these days, and what are you most concerned about? To really know someone, you need to know on a regular basis what they're most excited about and what they're most concerned about. And I urge anyone who's in an important relationship to start asking the other person about their location. When it comes to discovering how to be a blessing in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our families, and in our schools, we must listen for the location of people. We can't just assume that we know what to do for people that we come into contact with. We need to know their location, what makes them excited, what matters most to them, what challenges are they facing, what needs do they have. You know, as you know, we have a partnership with the Jackson Mann School in Alston. Jackson Mann is a K-8 school that we started partnering with about 5 years ago. And I remember meeting with the principal about that time. And at first I was saying, well, this is what we can do for you as a church. But then it occurred to me that we should also try listening. So I told him, you know, we're really excited about this opportunity to tutor at the Jackson Man, but we'd also love to hear if there's any way that you think we could be helpful. What are some of your needs? What are your dreams for the school? And then he was delighted to share some of the ways that we could be a blessing, and we were able to participate in some of those. There's a story that's told from the very early years of Christianity about this monk who lived all alone out in the desert, praying, meditating, studying the scriptures, and a couple of times a year, he would come into town for supplies, and people would line up outside the hut he would be staying in by the hundreds just to get a chance to have their turn to talk to him. Well, one man was really curious about what someone would have to say that was so profound that you stand in line for hours and sometimes days just to get in and talk with him. So he got in line. He waited for hours and hours, and when it was his turn, he went in and sat down, and what he discovered was that the man didn't have profound things to say at all. He would just sit there and listen. He just listened. But people in our world are desperately wanting to be heard. The question is, are we listening? Okay? Now, we cannot bless the world without listening to people, but we also need to be listening to places. And here's what I mean by that. If we want to listen to our community or our city, I would encourage you, your family group, your microchurch when you start them, to adopt actually a very simple missional practice. Maybe you could buy a physical copy of the Boston Globe, get a highlighter, and read it front to back. And as you do so, highlight every need that you run across in the paper. Now, if you have to do it digitally, you can try to do it digitally. Download the PDFs, share them, you know, highlight them. But once you highlight every need, simply allow that to drive the conversation in the group. You know, of these needs, which ones can we meet? Which ones are we particularly interested in or passionate about? And just by reading the newspaper, you may discover an organization that needs volunteers that, you know, lines up with your passion. We may learn about a local event that we can plug into. We may learn about a person or a group of people that really need help. You know, if you just simply listen to our community, I believe it will tell us what we need or what it needs. Alan Platt, who's the pastor of Doxadeo Church, tells a story of the church plant in London, the Doxadeo church plant in London. And as they were talking with the residents of the community in which they were starting this church, they realized that many of the community just did not trust the police to care about them. And this was a socioeconomically down part of London, a neighborhood where the relationship between the police and the residents had become frayed due to some incidents. And at the same time, as they talked with the police, they learned that the police were desperately concerned about this relationship and wanted to repair it, but didn't know how. At the same time, neither side was really listening to the other. Now, I mentioned that this was a socioeconomically depressed area. And as the members of Doxadeo talked with the local residents, they learned that many of the residents were not going to be able to afford to buy a turkey for Christmas. That was one of their needs, and that was one of their dreams. And remember that in England, they eat turkeys at Christmas, okay? So Doxadeo decided that they were going to have a Christmas outreach where they would give every family in this neighborhood a Christmas turkey, okay, and some sides. And then they approached the police and said, "We would like to give every family in this neighborhood a Christmas turkey. And we thought you, i.e. the police, might like to deliver each one." And the police thought that that was a wonderful idea. And then Doxadeo said, "Well, how about we put it in a bag that has the police logo on it so people really know where it's coming from?" And the police thought that that was a wonderful idea. Then Doxadeo said, "And how about you help pay for it?" And the police still thought it was a wonderful idea. So that Christmas, every family received a hand-delivered turkey from a police constable, put in a bag with an official police logo on it, as well as the logo of Doxadeo Church. You know, wonderful idea. How did they come up with the idea? They just simply listened. They listened to the people. They listened to the place. The places we live and work are constantly speaking, and we'll hear them if we just listen. You know, whether it's a neighborhood association, the school board, chamber of commerce, city council, you know, I encourage us to show up at meetings and just listen for what God might have us do and what we might hear there. So we need to listen to people and we need to listen to places. But most importantly, We need to be listening to God. As the originator of the blessed to be a blessing covenant, the whole blessed to be a blessing idea, I think God has some important insights that we would do well to listen to. You know, many times we tell God, this is what I can do for you, God. You know, don't ask me to do anything else. But really, God isn't interested in what you can do for him. He's more interested in what he can do in and through you. Well, how do we do that? How do we listen to God? In general, God speaks through his Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, people, and circumstances. Now, I listed those in order of reliability. But here's the thing. You can read the Bible every day and not hear from God. You can pray every day and not hear from God. That is, if you have a heart that is not listening. Christians will prophesy and you won't recognize it. God will be moving around you and you may not recognize it if you are not listening. Some of the most religious people in Israel, the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, failed to recognize the presence of the Son of God walking among them, failed to listen to his words. You know, listening is critical, but not listening, unfortunately, is the default mode of humanity. We don't listen because we care more about ourselves and what we think is right than we do about God. We're self-centered, not God-centered. Our universe is limited to our own concerns and the concerns of our tribe. And the Bible actually calls this whole, you know, not listening orientation sin. In our interactions with other people, we assume, we accuse, we judge before we listen. We don't listen to God, and we don't listen to people. But that's also why Jesus came. Jesus knew what we needed. He died on a cross to save us from our sin. His sacrifice was so shocking, so humbling, so full of love that if we just fix our hearts upon it, it can transform us. His forgiveness so profound that it frees us, not just from shame and guilt, but frees us into a life of surrender. And his love and his offer into his life of love is actually the greatest blessing that we have. And people who turn to him as are people who will start listening. What if we listened with his love and with his care? You know, to bless the world, you know, we begin with prayer. And then we listen to the people and the places where we live and work. We listen to God. Let's pray for that daily. God, how do you want me to bless the world for you today? Help me to listen. And then listen each day. And when we get together in our family groups, let's talk about what we're hearing from God and, you know, what our listening to people and places is telling us. And then in our family groups, listen to one another. Don't just queue up what you want to say. Remember, this is not about us listening so we can do some good deeds and nice things for people. This is bigger than that. This is about blessing the world. This is about joining in Jesus' mission. It's about reaching and restoring people and communities and having that mission reproduced in the lives of others. Jesus heard that one man's voice in a huge crowd of people, and every day, each of us come into contact with people who nobody cares about, nobody listens to. May we be truly transformed into people who have the heart of Jesus and be people through whom God changes lives and changes the world. People who are always listening for the answer to Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you? Let's pray.